tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends. That you can mend a heart that's frail and torn. I wanna know a song can rise from the ashes of a broken life. And all that's dead inside can be reborn. 'Cause I'm one. I know I need to lift my eyes up, but I'm too weak. Life just won't let up, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Oh, let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends. That you can mend a heart that's frail and torn. I wanna know a song can rise from the ashes of a broken life. And all that's dead inside can be reborn. 'Cause I'm worn. My prayers are wearing thin. Yeah, I'm worn. Even before the day begins. Yeah, I'm worn. I've lost my will to fight. I'm warm, so heaven come and flood my eyes.
Why is it so easy to relate to that song? I have had times when I hear that song and my heart just really, really connects with that. Worn, tired. Just let me see redemption win. And I don't know where you're at today, but I would guess for some of you, if you're really gluing into that song, your heart would connect with it. How, think about this, how can a really successful musician and artist write a song like that and feel that way? He struggles too. I don't know if you noticed his hairstyle. He has this weird kind of like hair thing going across the side of his face. I was at his concert a while back and he told us why. In high school, he was in a pretty much near fatal car accident. He has this huge scar across the side of his head. So now he grows the hair over that spot intentionally to cover that scar. Just a little window into where he's coming from. I want you to think about your burden. Just start with this premise. Everybody carries an invisible burden. I believe that's true. Everybody here carries some kind of a burden. What's yours? What's yours? Because grabbing onto and thinking about that burden, I don't want to drag you down. I want you to be real about what you struggle with and where you're at, and you can take that to Christ and be lifted up. So we've got to kind of go down to come up. That's what we're kind of going to do today. And so I want you to think about, how's life treating you these days? What's going on in your life? What's hard in your life? What's that invisible burden that some of us know about, some of us don't? I'm going to put a couple of words up on the screen and grab one of those. This one I connect with. Broken. Flawed. Angry. Tired. Weary. Indifferent. Critical. Struggle. Mistakes. Failure. Damaged goods. And you can't grab all of them. Some of you, yeah. Why is it that every one of us could take one or more of those labels and pin it to our own chest? Knowing that God has shown grace to us, He has forgiven us, He has loved us, He's adopted us, He's brought us into His family, He's drawn us near, called us His own. Why is it that it's normal for a Christian to struggle and to sometimes feel that song, "I'm worn"? Why is that normal when all these things are true for us? Part of it has to do with the broken world we live in, right? And we long to be redeemed from that and be in glory with Him. But part of it has to do with us. So what's your burden? What's your invisible burden today? The reason we decided to spend a long time looking at Jesus in this series is because we are broken and He is not. That's why we're looking at Jesus. We are broken and He is not. We're going to look at Mark chapter 1. We're going to look at a leper today. We are the leper of Mark chapter 1. We are that leper. And as I've been praying for you guys this week and interacting with some of you, I get that sense that some of you are tired and some of you are weary and need relief from the struggle, tired of being alone, tired of working so hard with such little result. Maybe I'm talking to you today. And if I am, I really hope that today is a blessing to you. I hope that today will lift you up. And if that's not you, if you're not feeling worn like that song, that's not me. I'm doing great. I am thriving. If that's where you are, I'm going to ask you to do something today. I would like you to pray. Because there are people here who are not. There are people here who are struggling. So if you're doing great, you're confident, you're in love with God, filled with joy and peace, then pray. While I'm talking, pray. Pray for the people who you love, who are here, who should be here. Pray for those people by name. And pray for the people who are here who you don't know with that invisible burden. Pray for them. If you're doing great today, pray while I'm talking. Would you do that? Maybe there's one or two of you here who can do that. And the rest of you here, you've got a burden, okay? I hope somebody's praying for me today. We're looking at Jesus because we are broken. He is not. Reflecting the heart of Jesus. I realized something this week that's pretty important to this series. Before we can reflect Jesus' heart, we need to receive it. And I don't want to assume that you're ready for that. We need to experience the deep love and compassion of Christ. We need to experience His grace. We need to be close to Him. So I don't want to give you another work harder, do more, you're not doing enough kind of sermon today. I want to give you a shot of oxygen today right out of the Gospel of Mark. I hope that this will do that. I want you to catch a glimpse of Jesus' heart, and I want Jesus' heart to catch you and fill you up today. That's where we're going. We're going to look at two scenes from Jesus' life, his early ministry. They're both found in Mark chapter 1. So open your Bibles. Mark chapter 1. Both of these scenes, there's actually three scenes in Mark 1 that we're going to look at. And they all include a miraculous touch. And there's a motivation behind that, behind what Jesus does. And I want you to see that. What is it that moves Jesus to do what he does here in these episodes, in these scenes? They happened. This really happened. Jesus walked around and these things happened. What motivated him? What moved him to heal the people he healed? And so what I hope will happen is you're going to see that. You're going to get it. And then we can move from seeing it happen then to experiencing it ourselves, to experiencing what's Jesus' heart motivation for us. And then ultimately, eventually, we can reflect it. But it's a natural process. We see it, we understand, we begin it, we experience it with him, and then we naturally begin to reflect. Rather than, I'm going to look like Jesus today, I'm going to try harder, I'm going to be nice to somebody today, we experience him, and we are changed from the inside, and then we can reflect him naturally. That's where we want to go. So you can read along, Mark chapter 1. What is behind what Jesus is doing? We're going to start in verse 29 to 34 and 40 to 45. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Anybody catch it? What was the heart motivation behind what Jesus did? Three words. Did you see it? Anybody want to throw a guess out there? Give you a hint in verse 41. "I am willing." He is willing. And why is he willing? There's something inside him. It's filled with compassion. That makes him willing and wanting to touch this leper. He is filled with compassion. That's it. Mark just told us what's driving Jesus. It is compassion. Compassion is driving Jesus to do everything he does here, and I hope you're going to see that as we look at it. And so we need to understand what's compassion. Would you be able to define compassion? Probably everybody could come up with some sort of definition, but I'm going to give you my favorite dead guy, Noah Webster, his definition from 1828. Wrote the first American dictionary in the United States, and this is how he described it. Compassion is a suffering with another. It is suffering with someone else. That's compassion. Painful sympathy, a sensation of sorrow, excited by the distress or misfortunes of another. Compassion is a mixed passion compounded of love and sorrow. I like that. It's a mixed passion compounded of love and sorrow together. So to extend compassion to somebody is to push pause on the agenda of your life to meet the need of somebody else. Pushing pause. I'm going to put my stuff aside. That's compassion. Have you done that recently? Can you think of a time when I just naturally just paused my stuff and dealt with theirs? You're going to see Jesus hit pause for the least likely people. We go through this. He pushes pause on his agenda all the time. Why does he do it? Because those people are worth something to him. Those people are precious to him. They matter, and so are you. You matter to him. So we're going to look at this compassion. And I was in a counseling session this week, and the counselee is just working through something really, really hard, really difficult. And the tears began to flow as they were sharing, and you could just see the pain on that person's face, and I just started to feel that pain too. So as they're sharing and tears are coming, I'm listening and tears are coming. And that, as I saw this compassion, I thought, that's compassion. When you hurt with them, when you come alongside, you hurt too. We were made to do that. We were made to suffer with each other. We're not made to suffer alone. People need that when they're suffering. They need somebody to come alongside and suffer with them. Thank God for compassion. We're not made to just cover it up and pretend it doesn't exist. So maybe some of the things I'm saying is kind of peeling off the layers. We tend to press it down. We tend to cover it up and get some scabs over the top, callous. But Jesus is filled with compassion. Jesus, filled with it. Remember who he is. Remember what we've been talking about, the authority before? The one who can say, follow me, and these four rough fishermen just leave everything behind and just follow behind him like four little puppies. He had power. He had influence. This is the one declared by God the Father. This is my son. This is the one who rightfully has all the authority of heaven. And here he is suffering with people of no reputation. People that everyone else says they don't matter. That's Jesus, filled with compassion. Can you see it? Can you see it in these scenes in Mark 1? The first person he deals with is Simon's mother-in-law. Verse 29, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. That's their home base in Capernaum, the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. They told Jesus about her, so he went to her, took her hand, helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. This is a private miracle. They've just been in the temple, cast out this demon, big public show. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's hearing about it. This has nothing to do with that. Why did Jesus do it? Not because he wanted to make a name for himself. Not because I want people to see. He cared about this woman. It's in her bedroom. He goes to her lying in bed, and he helps her up. And immediately she's healed. Immediately. The next section, verse 32 to 34. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. Imagine that. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he did not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. So now he's healing all kinds of people. Synagogue event happened. That was on a Sabbath. Remember, it says that evening after sunset. That's important. Why was this after sunset? Because finally Sabbath is over. They're allowed to bring people to him. They weren't allowed to do that until Sabbath is over, which ends in the evening. So after dark, all these people flock to him after a long day, busy day, tired, and there's a line out the door, Simon's house. Well, what's Jesus going to do? He's going to meet their need. He's going to love them. He's going to have compassion on them. He's going to touch them. He's going to heal them. He's going to cast out demons. And until late into the night, huge line. And then we see this nameless leper, verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately leprosy left him and he was cured. Imagine what that would have looked like. That was a powerful event when Jesus touched this leper. for many reasons. The people watching that, they would have been scooping their jaws up off the ground. What in the world just happened? One, because he just cured leprosy, and so this guy's fingers grew back, and his face was healed, all this nasty stuff. But two, he touched a leper. We don't really deal with leprosy too much. Our friends, Independent Church in India, the Smiths and Pastor Brito, they deal with this all the time. There's still lepers in the world today. But we don't understand this. This is huge that Jesus touched this guy. Nobody got near a leper. You don't come close to a leper. In today's world, this would be the parallel of finding somebody, some stranger who has a confirmed case of Ebola, going up to them, giving them a big hug and a kiss on the lips. Anybody going to do that? Nobody touched a leper. They had this incurable, highly contagious skin disease. It was disgusting. You can sort of see the picture there. This is a current person with Pastor Brito that has leprosy. It mutilates the body. It would destroy the nerve endings on your extremities. You can't feel pain anymore. Eventually, it starts to eat away at your skin, causing your skin, causing your fingers and toes to fall off. Giant sores, nasty sores. And eventually, your body would be literally rotting while you struggle to survive. Nobody wanted that. They didn't have a cure. So they stayed away from these infected people, and I'm guessing probably we would too. But not Jesus. Because this disease was so contagious, lepers were required to shout. If they're in town near people, they had to shout, "Unclean! Unclean!" As they walked the streets, they had to shout that as a courtesy to everyone else so no one would mistakenly get too close and catch the disease. That's what they had to do. So everyone would stay away. Nobody touched a leper. Nobody would come close. Their friends would abandon them. It's not worth it. Their family would leave them. Why let the whole family die? They were alone, untouchable, outcasts. Nobody liked lepers. They were feared. They were despised. Even the rabbis of the time. I found something, an interesting quote from a book that I have called The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah. This is what it describes about how rabbis treated lepers. Rabbi Meir would not eat an egg purchased in a street where there was a leper. Another rabbi boasted that he always threw stones at them to keep them far off, while others hid themselves or ran away. Imagine being a leper. Not even the religious leaders would come close. But Jesus touches him. This man boldly approaches Jesus, begged him on his knees, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reaches out and touches him. And I think that was maybe more powerful than the healing itself. So nobody touched a leper. Jesus touched a leper. Compassion means to suffer with another. And we see that. We see Jesus doing that right here. And not only does he come alongside them and suffer with them, but when Jesus does that, he turns their suffering around. Every one of these people, their lives are changed, right? Simon's mother-in-law, he heals her. Immediately, she's back up, and she's ready to serve. You know, they were ready for Sunday lunch or whatever, you know, after this, their Sabbath time at the synagogue. It says the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. She didn't need recovery time. It's not like, "Oh, I'm so exhausted, I need to sleep this off." She's up on her feet and ready to wait on them. And Jesus waited on her, now she waits on them. Complete turnaround. The crowds that come to him, he doesn't just come alongside them, but he makes a difference. He touches them. He helps them. He helps them. His compassion helps these people. And the leper, he touched and healed. So you can see Jesus' compassion, right? Have I convinced you? Jesus, when it says Jesus was filled with compassion, he really was. Can you see that? Oh. Jesus is filled with compassion. And the good news is that it doesn't just end here with this leper or Simon's mother-in-law who've been dead for how many centuries. Jesus is still filled with compassion, right? For you and that burden that maybe nobody else knows about. Whichever word that you had picked before, whatever your struggle might be, Jesus knows. And he feels your struggle with you. I have a couple of other passages I want to bring to you that just look at these as logs on the fire of your faith that can encourage you. These are truths about Jesus. There's a couple from Hebrews. Hebrews 2. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Why did Jesus become a man? One of the reasons, so he could understand, to go through what we struggle with, so he could feel it, so he could be merciful toward us. And not just outside the Creator, but inside. I was one of you. I went through it too. I understand. Now, it wasn't just to relate to us. He became a man so he could make atonement for our sins, so he could buy us back and give us freedom, give us redemption. Hebrews 4, 15 to 16. We don't have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses. We have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. In our time of need. He's been through it. He's been tempted in every way. He's been tested. He's struggled. He understands. Do you believe that? You believe he understands your situation? We've got a lot of ladies in here. Well, he never was a woman. He doesn't understand that. Don't let that be an excuse to keep distance from Jesus. He does understand. He has an amazing ability. He'll understand better than I will. He understands. He really does. And in that reality, in that truth, we have Matthew 11. You've probably heard before, 28 to 30. Come to me. This is Jesus' invitation to you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's an invitation. Come to me. I want to carry your burden with you. I want to show compassion. I want to come alongside and suffer with you. He says, take my yoke upon you. We're kind of distant from this farming terminology. A yoke is a wooden thing with two spaces for two oxen. And they would walk together side by side plowing the field. Jesus says, you take my yoke upon you. I'm on one side, you come on the other. What happens when Jesus is part of the yoke that we're walking in? He carries more of the load than we do. Take my yoke. Come, I'll give you rest. And I have just a quick picture you can see. I thought about, as I was thinking about this idea, thought about how, like, when we're setting up and we're taking this cross, little kids like to help carry this cross. But it's a little big for them. It's a little big for them. So we have a new movie star. His name is Daniel, and he's gonna show you something about this.
Is it heavy?
Yeah.
Yeah, would you like some help?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Think we can carry it together?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Here we go. Here we go. All right. Good job. You think you could do this all by yourself?
No.
Up the hill? You think you could do it yourself?
No.
Probably not. Probably not. Oh, but we can do it together, right? All right. Excellent. Okay, set it down. Perfect. Okay, bye. Good job. Thank you, Daniel.
That's a picture of what we do when we bring our burden to Him. You don't need to carry it yourself. We have these burdens that are too heavy for us. Sometimes God brings these burdens that are too heavy for us because He wants to bear it with us. He wants to come alongside of us and carry it. Now, when Daniel and I were carrying that, who was carrying most of the weight?
Daniel.
Yeah, Daniel was, right? Not even close. I'm not trying to be Jesus here. I'm not. But that's the picture. When Jesus comes along, He carries the load. We still come alongside. We still have something to do with it. It doesn't disappear. But when He's got it, it is so much easier. When He doesn't, we try to do it ourselves. We struggle. So if you are carrying your load on your own right now, that can change starting right now. This invitation, come to me, that's for you. It's for you right now. Come to me. I will give you rest. Does that scripture right there, that truth, does that shoot some oxygen into you? Does that lift you up? Is that a reality that you need today? Are you breathing it in? Do you feel Jesus' compassion for you? It's not just for the leper. You're the leper. You've got the burden today. You've got the load, the struggle. Now, when Jesus says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light," He's not making light of your burden. He knows it's heavy. He knows it's heavy for you. It's not heavy for Him. It's not heavy for Him. You're Daniel. Yeah, it's huge. It's heavy. Not for Him. But He understands. He understands. So He's given you this invitation. He's filled with compassion for us. He's been there. He knows. He gets it. And He's right here. He's right here with this invitation. Let Him take your burden. Are you getting that? Are you connecting that with your burden? Or are you just generalizing like, yeah, some people have burdens sometimes and this could be good for them? Bring it into yours or this won't really be helpful. Some of you are getting it. I can see. Some of you are being lifted up. You're breathing it in and it's helpful. I hope that's true. Some of you, I'm not really getting it. I'm not really getting it. I haven't really made a connection. It's not really, you know, I love to bring my load to Jesus, but He's not here. I can't see Him. And sometimes I try to do that and the burden sticks to me. You ever do that? You ever feel that? You try to bring it to Him and it's still pressing you down? That can happen. So I just want to take a minute to get real practical for a minute. I want to not just tell you what to do, bring your burden to Jesus, let Him take it, but I want to kind of show you how. So let's just say your major stress is financial, okay? I don't know what yours is, but let's just say it's financial because a lot we can relate to that. Pretty much everybody can. So you have a pretty major financial burden right now to the point you don't answer your phone anymore when you don't recognize the number because it's probably a creditor coming after you. I mean, you've got loads, multiple credit cards, your past due and all of your payments. It's a heavy load. That's a significant burden, right? That can be really stressful. And maybe your burden is much heavier than that. Maybe your burden is much lighter. It doesn't matter. Just relate to this one. So you have a couple of options. You can just pull your hair out and try to do this on your own and try to make it happen and try to drag that cross up the hill when it's too big for you to carry. You can do that and struggle. Or you can take it to Jesus with a conversation. Prayer's conversation, right? You go to Him and you talk to Him. And maybe you'll just say something. You just got, not like, "Our Father who art in heaven." Like, that's a good prayer. And when you mean it, that's good. But sometimes you just need to talk to Him. "God, you see how stressed out I am right now. You see it. You understand it. I don't know what to do. I feel stuck. I feel like I'm sinking. And I know I made some bad decisions in the past. And I'm sorry for that. I wish I could change it, but I can't. I can't change the past. Here I am right now. Forgive me for that, but I want to know what to do. You say that we should come to you with our burdens and you'll give us rest. So here I am. You got any rest for me? Show me what to do." That's a prayer that you can pray when you have a burden that feels too heavy. Just talk to him about it. And here's another log for your fire. Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And what happens? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Some of you have heard that before. It's not new. Some of you it is new. This is truth. Bring it to him, and he will give you peace that's beyond understanding. Some of you know that. You've done that. You understand what that means. Now, this is a promise from God. This isn't something you can test tube, prove, like some scientific formula. This is something God has given to us, something God has said, I will do this. This is a promise. So let's say you have that conversation and connect it with your burden, your struggle. You still have the problem when you're done with the prayer, right? Your phone is still ringing. The pressure is still there. But now Jesus is with you in it, carrying some of that weight. And so now as you move forward, your mindset changes. I have help. I'm not alone. And things are going to happen. Maybe God's going to give you an idea of something you can do. Maybe he's going to give you some insight. Here's a way I can handle this. I can tackle this. Maybe he'll send a friend along to come alongside and compassion with you. Maybe, who knows, this financial, maybe he'll send a check in the mail. There's no guarantee about that, but sometimes it happens. But giving your burden, bringing your burden to God is not a let go and let God. It's not let go and let God. I'm just going to sit back and see what he does with those credit card bills. It's not that. Yes, you can let go of the stress and the worry, but you still have a responsibility, and this thing is still here. But now you have a new confidence. Now I can move forward, and I can know it's going to be okay. It's so important. Sometimes we get this thing in our mind, it's not going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. This is too much. But when he picks up his part, it's going to be okay. He gives us a new confidence. And just knowing this, he is filled with compassion for you. He wants to suffer with you. He wants to help you through it. Does that make sense? Is that real for you yet? Here's a question for the men in the audience. Do men need compassion? This is women need compassion, right? I mean, I'm struggling. Yeah, we'll have compassion towards you. We'll help you. What about men? Do men need compassion? We're not supposed to feel. We're not supposed to need help. We're supposed to get it on our own. Not supposed to cry, no signs of weakness. Shouldn't even have emotions. Just be tough. Come on. We don't need compassion. Right? Really? Life isn't tough for guys too? Is life tough for guys sometimes? Yeah. Are you kidding? We bear incredible burdens. We bear incredible burdens. The responsibility to provide for your family is huge. Do we bear burdens? I mean, the financial side is one thing. But to lead your family towards God, and sometimes we want to do that and we feel like we're failing. We're not doing it quite right. We're not getting it. Do we have heavy loads? Yeah. And Jesus says, I want to come alongside. You don't need to be tough. You need to be real and recognize you're not meant to carry this all by yourself. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Doesn't matter if you are a man or a woman. It doesn't matter. We struggle. We struggle. We go through things. We need help. So whether you look like you've got it all together or everybody knows your life is in shambles, Jesus steps in and says, I know what you need, and I want to make a difference. Like he did with Simon's mother-in-law, like he did with these crowds that came, like he did with this leper. I want to come in and make a difference. And when he joins us in it, we experience his compassion, and it really does make a difference. It really does. When you can go to him and he can come together with you and he lifts us up. It's like in that video, when at that point in the video at the beginning, when their bodies started to float up off. What was that about? And then the leaves started to float back up and turn green and reattach themselves to the tree. What's going on there? That's symbolically showing what happens when Jesus brings redemption to a life. When Jesus comes in, his compassion brings hope, gives us strength to keep going. Dynamically changes how you handle life. And eventually, ultimately what it's going to do, it's going to change you to the place where you become an imperfect embodiment of compassion. You become that. You're brought to that place of health where you naturally bring compassion to others. Look what the leper did. What was his response? Verse 42, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away with a strong warning. Don't tell anybody. Show yourself to the priest. Offer sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Say, follow the law. Like, go to the priest. Let him declare you clean. And what did he do? Forget about that. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. Didn't obey Christ, which is interesting. And we'll talk about this secrecy idea later because it keeps coming up. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Why are you saying don't tell anybody? But what I want you to see here is, what did the leper do? He told everybody. He told everybody. And you don't see him feeling forced. Okay, Jesus made a difference in my life, so now I need to tell other people about it. Maybe on Tuesday and Thursday, I'm going to tell somebody about my healing, and I'm going to put it in my day planner, and I'm going to make that one of my accountability questions. Did you tell anybody about your healing this week? Do you see that? This is natural. It's natural. He's been changed. So he tells everybody. So we're moving into that reflecting his heart. Don't go into guilt mode here, okay? Like, oh, I don't do a very good job reflecting Jesus and showing. Don't go into guilt mode. If it's not natural for you to talk about Jesus, you don't need to beat yourself up. You don't need to guilt yourself. You're like, oh, I'm gonna work harder. Punish yourself with this self-rebuke. If it's not natural, what you need to do is really experience Jesus. Really experience Jesus. Follow the advice that he gave us in Matthew 11. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. When you do that, he changes you. Something real happens. You feel him lift that corner of your burden and lighten the load, and you know he's there with you, and it's going to change you. You're going to find rest. And then, when that happens, when the appropriate time comes, and you get close to somebody who needs compassion, who is hurting, then you're naturally ready to hurt with them, to come alongside. You don't have to force yourself to do this. This isn't supposed to be. You're not doing enough. The leper had none of that. He was changed. So it made sense. You need to know about this. So we need to get close to him and really experience his compassion. And when we do, that changes us. And you may not be the one on the street corner telling every stranger at the gas station, but when the right time comes and the right person comes along who needs you, you'll be ready. Imagine what it would be like if every one of us was touched by Jesus like this leper. If we really did experience his compassion, really feel that weight come off and that burden lifted, knowing it's going to be okay. We're going to be all right. He's with me. What would it be like if we were all like that? We got the help we needed. And Jesus comes in and gives us new strength and new hope and new confidence. Nobody around here would suffer alone, right? People suffer alone still, don't they? We'd all have radars flashing, just eager and ready to bless as we've been blessed. Just need to get close to him. Let him do that work in us. Let him touch us like he touched all these people. So back to the beginning, where are you at? Maybe you're filled with joy, filled with confidence, filled with thrive, and you can be a blessing to other people. Maybe you need to take those steps to get close to him. Come under his yoke and let him bless you. That's what comes first. That comes first. You need to experience his compassion. And then you can look around to be a blessing, ready to hurt with somebody else. That's not going to go away. It's not going to change. So as we move into this Thanksgiving week, this would be it, putting that to practice. Come to me. Bring your burden. Do that. Really do that. Have a real conversation with him. When you get to Thanksgiving and all the family celebrations and all that, you're not going to have to paste on this phony Thanksgiving spirit. Yeah, I'm thankful for the trees and the birds and my kids and my family. But you will have real thankfulness, like this leper. This is so great. God is so good. He's holding me up. That's where we want to be, right? Have a good Thanksgiving. The real one. What am I thankful for? I'm really not. Let him in. Let him into your real stuff. God, I pray for each person here that we just be real. And we all struggle. We don't always struggle all the time. Some of us are up, some of us are down. But Lord, you come near us and you want to help. You want to hold that burden. So God, I pray that anyone here who's keeping you at distance, who's got a straight arm to you and not letting you near, I pray, God, that would just soften. That whoever is here who needs to come near you will, and will find your invitation to be true. Even though we can't test tube the results, that they would feel the relief of you coming near and be blessed and lifted up. And then, God, as you do that in us, Lord, that you would make us different. Help us to become compassion bearers, ready, looking, and eager to be a blessing to someone else. Make us that kind of a church family. Lord, we need your help. We can't do that. We can't just put it on. Burdens are too heavy for us. They're not too heavy for you. So thank you for bearing our burden, first on the cross, and then every day. In Jesus' name, amen.